Good evening, everybody. It's 6 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. We have a roll call for attendance, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Under agenda review, is there anyone on the commission here that would like to revise the order of agenda items? We have a fairly short agenda, so probably doesn't need to be doing that. Okay, and if we can follow Commissioner Shiro and stand and follow him in the flag salute.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We typically open the Planning Commission meetings with a community comment and suggestion period. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. The Commission further requests that public comment be limited to 3 minutes and accompanied by a voluntary submittal of our speaker slip to facilitate meeting organization and preparation of the minutes. There will be an opportunity later on for people who would like to speak on matters that are on the agenda tonight. So is there anyone from the community that would like to step up to the podium and address the Commission on an item that is not agendized here tonight? Seeing no one, we're going to close the community comment period. And staff, are there additional correspondence or supplemental information from the Planning Commission that needs to be shared at this point in time?
There's three items of written correspondence received after the agenda preparation and forwarded to you with a subsequent memorandum.
Very good. I know I'm in receipt of them. I'm hoping and assuming that the others on the commission were also in receipt of them late this afternoon. We do have a single consent agenda item as the consideration for the approval of the minutes of our meeting from August 21st. If I can have the commissioners review those minutes, and I'd like to entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. We have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Abstain.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Next item is a public hearing items. I am involved on this particular property and am going to be recusing myself from this conversation and discussion and deliberation and handing over the responsibilities of the commission to Commissioner George. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll move on with public hearing 8A, consideration of conditional use permit 18-004 and plan sign program 18-002, 4,500 square foot commercial addition, division of commercial building into retail, grocery store with alcoholic beverage sales and 24-hour fitness facility, and construction of a 50-foot freeway sign. The location is 1570 West Branch Street, and if we could please have a staff report.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair George. Members of the Commission, good evening. In front of you this evening, as you mentioned, is Conditional Use Permit 18-004 and Plan Sign Program 18-002. We'll start off getting ourselves acquainted with the site. I think most of us know the Oak Park Plaza, where Kmart used to be. The property is zoned regional commercial. It's located at 1570 West Branch Street as part of the Oak Park Plaza. And surrounding land uses are commercial, restaurants, a hotel, and open space. A little bit of background about the project. It is part of the Oak Park Plaza. There are five individual property owners and parcels on that site. It's a little hard to see up on the screen, but I did outline or I put in all of the property boundaries of all the different parcels. So we have the subject property, which is under consideration this evening, the adjoining parcel that does connect to West Branch Street in two different places, a restaurant parcel where Quarter Deck is currently located, where Carl's Jr. is located, and where the bank is currently located. The Oak Park Plaza was developed in the 70s and 80s, and as we all know, Kmart closed earlier this year, and I wanted to note that there are reciprocal access and parking easements across the entire site for all the different property owners. Now, the proposed project itself is, there's a bit of unpacking to do on this project because we're covering a lot of different things. So I've highlighted all of those up on the screen. So the first portion of this conditional use permit is permitting a approximately 4,500 square foot addition to the existing building, commercial building. So this is where Kmart formerly had their outdoor garden, home and garden section of the building. So that would bring the total building to around 87,000 square feet, 80,100, somewhere in that ballpark. The second portion of this conditional use permit is establishing a fitness facility. The fitness facility itself requires a conditional use permit. The operating 24 hours does not. However, because it is all part of the same project description, it's part of this proposed project. That would total about 16,000 square feet or so of the resulting building. The third part of the project is establishing a grocery store greater than 20,000 square feet. So in the regional commercial zoning district, grocery stores greater than 20,000 square feet require a conditional use permit. Under 20,000 square feet is an administrative approval. So the grocery stores about 20,500, 21,000 square feet or so. Also, permitting the sale of beer, wine, and distilled spirits in the grocery store as part of this conditional use permit. And then the remaining 50,000 square feet of the building would be dedicated to retail. So that is not necessarily requiring the conditional use permit, but it is part of the project as well. Additionally, you'll note the plan sign program in front of you this evening. The applicants are requesting that to get authorization for the construction of a 50-foot freeway sign. And then I wanted to note that the details on that, such as sign area, wall signage of the tenants, will all need to return to the commission in the future should approval of the plan sign program move forward this evening. Now, with regard to general plan, the property is located in the Regional Commercial Land Use District. In this instance, because we are looking at a previously developed site, we're really considering the expansion of the building's architecture, and the request for signage in conformance with the general plan. And so staff has reviewed this, and it does appear that the project is consistent with several land use policies in the land use element, as well as the ED5 of the economic development element. Now, in terms of the development code, the purpose of the Regional Commercial Zoning District is to provide for a diversity of commercial uses that serve the community and regional needs for retail and personal services within distinctive and internally pedestrian-oriented shopping centers. So that's basically the existing site that's out there. Now, we're looking at the existing property. When looking at the existing property and the proposed project, both of those meet the requirements of the municipal code with regard to the Regional Commercial Zoning District. So total building size, lot coverage, setbacks, that type of thing are all met under this proposed project. Now, one of the big pieces of the project is the architecture of the building. So right now we're looking at the former Kmart building, kind of a Spanish-style-esque building itself, looking at splitting that up into three different tenant spaces as previously outlined. I will say that this image, the portion of the building that's closest to you, the facade, is very beige, and that is not the color that's proposed. That is a rendering error. So the applicant has provided the color and material board up front, and we can pass that around. That color is more gray than what is depicted. But we're looking at kind of the stucco siding for two of the tenant spaces, the horizontal shiplap siding in the middle tenant space, and then adding additionally some corrugated steel on the far tenant space. So here's what that looks like. This is more true to what the colors would look like. So here's that kind of gray tone on this portion of the stucco building. This would be the retail store tenant. In the middle, we would be looking at the grocery store with the horizontal siding. And then the fitness facility would be located on the end with the stucco and the accent corrugated metal. One thing I did want to note, too, with the should the expansion of the building be permitted, again, that's the former home and garden center. What we will end up seeing is increased fenestration, building fenestration, so the window openings and different wall planes on this side and on the frontage leading into the stores as well. So I wanted to highlight some of that. A lot of CMU block also being proposed to be used as kind of the accent and the base material for the project. And then the shiplap siding being kind of a bluish hue. So grays and blues, nothing, no fuchsia or anything like that. One thing to talk about this evening is parking. So the municipal code obviously dictates how much parking is required for different uses. One thing that it does not identify is parking required for a fitness use. The applicant has provided additional information from the from our neighboring jurisdictions regarding parking requirements for fitness uses. This seems to be kind of where we are at. We're actually, if we look at the one space per 250 square feet of floor area, we're a little bit over what some of the neighboring jurisdictions are doing, which you're seeing one per 300 to three per 1,000, things like that. But looking at the total complex, because it is part of an entire plaza area, obviously we have we include in that the existing buildings that are already there. We have to make sure everything is parked correctly. So totality-wise, plaza-wide, we're looking at, for general retail, office, things like that, one space per 250 square feet of gross floor area, and there's about 130,500 square feet, which would total 522 spaces required. For the restaurant, sit-down restaurant, you're looking at one space per 100 square feet of publicly accessible area. There's about, with the quarter deck, there's about 2,500 square feet or so of square feet accessible to the public. So that would require 25 spaces. I will note that that is an error in your staff report where it says an additional 522 spaces are required. I meant to catch that between the ARC and the Planning Commission and overlooked it again. This lower left corner should be fast food restaurant. It's one space per 250 square feet of publicly, or of 75 square feet of publicly accessible space. So this is the Carl's Jr. building. We went back and looked at that. That's about 1,750 square feet of publicly accessible space, which is 23 total spaces. So plaza-wide, we're looking at a 570 space requirement. Now, the existing plaza itself has a total, and with the proposed project, would be providing 551 spaces. So we're coming up about 19 spaces short. The municipal code does allow up to a 20% mixed-use reduction for common parking facilities for projects such as this. And so the proposed project is looking at about a 5% reduction in parking requirements. So that being said, it's consistent in that kind of flexibility range that the Planning Commission has some discretion over. So in the Commission's deliberation, we're considering all the different uses on site and the differing peak hour uses of those different uses. Trees and landscaping. The applicant is proposing to install about 40 new trees with this proposed project in the parking area. So this addresses the municipal code requirement of one tree per five parking spaces. They do get to count all the existing trees that are there. One thing that the Architecture Review Committee did talk about, because they were looking at the plan, I believe it's attachment 3 of your staff report, that the applicant submitted, referencing where they're going to put these new trees. And the members of the Architecture Review Committee were concerned about spacing of some of the trees and crowding. So the Architecture Review Committee recommended a condition that's in your resolution this evening, that the final tree replacement plan